You're listening to Transponder, a podcast about two transitioning adults after 2 years of transition, and they talk about transition and other people's transitions. Cool. Alright, okay, alright, here we go. Harley, I'm Regina, stealing hearts like a criminal. Super sexy transitions.
They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog.
Thank God the theme song isn't that long.
Go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina. Go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina. Go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina. Go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina. Go.
This episode was brought to you by Peterson Toscano. Make sure to visit his website and check out his new DVD.
Aquaman, swift and powerful monarch of the oceans, with ability to summon and command all creatures of the deep. Aquaman, who with his teenage ally, Aqualad, guards and defends all that lives and sees against the forces of evil. Aquaman, king of the seven seas.
The Transponder, episode 81.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com. This is Mila.
And this is Jaina.
Welcome back, Jaina. Did we have some excitement today?
We had some excitement today. We went to Berklee College, which is kind of like a big liberal like place, right?
Yeah, it's like one of those colleges that all people from around the world come to educate themselves and learn and stand on top of like trash cans and throw flyers at people.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that you know why you shouldn't
make money.
Yeah. Be capitalist or whatever.
That was awesome.
Really cool.
Made me miss university life.
And people use such elegant large words when speaking, like redundant.
Yes, that's actually my 7-year-old son.
Oh,
he's learning college words.
He was learning college words. I think he gets college words, like new ones every day.
Yeah, apparently his teacher is teaching college words. So if they learn a college word,
that's awesome. And then they can start using it in everyday life.
But we spoke to a class today on, was it female sexuality?
Yeah, it was, we just talked about trans issues in the context of female sexuality, femsex. Yeah. It was really cool.
And we got a thank you card, which was nice.
Yeah.
And it was, ourselves and three
trans guys,
male identified folk.
Yep,
it was pretty awesome.
Two who are on hormones and one who is fervently against hormones.
It's like the trans guy passing approach. It's like, I didn't know they're trans guys. I had no idea.
I thought they were just coming to like learn about trans stuff because they looked like just normal, everyday guys.
As trans guys often do.
The only reason I knew they were trans is because Morgan said, oh, bleep.
Bleep.
Totally gotta bleep that. Sorry. One of the people that was giving the conference said that...
Because Ragnarok the Destroyer said...
That they were on the panel.
Oh, so you already knew. Or you...
I just
guess?
Knew because of the introduction.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, hey, these are trans guys that are on the panel. Oh, alrighty then.
Ah, okay.
I only thought
one other person was coming, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I got a little.
But it was cool, and it was good.
It was a lot of fun, and afterwards,
I'd never done one of those before. I don't think. Well, I did the PFAC one.
Well, it's neat because we got asked all kinds of interesting questions that were like, according to so-and-so's theory of you know, gender, how does this equate to your life as being transgender?
I'm like, I don't know, I haven't read it.
Then somebody mentioned Julia Serrano, and it was like, oh
yeah, I read her.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
She's great.
Anytime. That's a cool book. Yeah. So it was very rad, and we got to talk about
Isn't that great that Julia Serrano's getting mentioned, brought up in conversations all over the place?
It is really cool.
Because she so should be.
Yeah. The conversation about the cutters was the thing that was really, like...
Oh, yeah, the off-the-grid surgeries and stuff and procedures and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Because I hadn't even really heard about that until... I didn't even heard that term until you mentioned it to me, so... Mm-hmm. Cutters.
Yeah, don't go to a cutter, please. Please, don't do it.
Back alley, archiectomies and such.
Yeah.
Back alley facial surgeries going on.
The evil injection parties or whatever.
Silicone injection parties. You know, not
all
good.
Of these things are bad ideas, right? You do not go to an unlicensed physician. Or actually, they're not even really a physician. They're just some person who's like, oh, look, I've got a scalpel. Let's go to it. Have you ever done this before? Yeah, I did it on 5 or 6 other people. Only 2 of them died. Right?
Yeah.
There have actually been several lawsuits over deaths related to cutters.
Yes, I have. Well, this is also there's a trans woman is getting...
Oh, yeah, well...
Wasn't she being brought up in charges or something? Because...
Yeah, for practicing medicine without a license and for killing the...
Manslaughter, I think.
Manslaughter,
right?
Or whatever.
Involuntary manslaughter, but...
Because of first performed something on herself and then was performing one on her partner and her partner bled out. So, that was not good.
Yeah, not good.
So just... just don't do it, and we'll avoid that whole conversation, you know?
Plus, you know, you want it done right, because that tissue is useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really glad that I didn't do that.
Personally, I'm just going to stick to taxidermy and put animals in interesting and humiliating positions.
Only if they're wearing, like, tutus and, like, those
gnome
hats.
Did I show you the time travel one?
No, you totally didn't.
Oh, I'll have to show you that sometime. He's got, like, a little hamster. And he's got, like, a little canopy on top of a huge guinea pig. And the guinea pig's got, like, a hatch, and there's, like, clockwork gears and stuff inside.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a time-traveling guinea pig and hamster. It's awesome. From England. It's pretty expensive, though.
Hey, speaking of England, don't we have a voicemail?
From England?
From the UK.
I believe so.
Yeah. Let's go to the voicemail.
Voicemail. We've got voicemail. Lots of voicemail. From the UK.
Hi, Mila. Hi, Jaina. And hi to everybody in Transponderland. This is Debbie Sanger calling from the United Kingdom. I just wanted to thank you two girls for producing such a fantastic podcast. Transponder is my most favorite trans podcast. I've listened to a few other shows over the last few years, but you two stand out as being perhaps the most friendliest hosts and the most entertaining show. So I really, really want to thank you for that. And please keep producing Transponder long into the future, because it is really, really good. And I would just say, if you look on iTunes on the UK site, search for Transponder, you will see some UK-based reviews of your show. So anyway, thanks again, and look forward to the next show. Bye!
You know, I had no idea that iTunes in the UK was separate from iTunes in the United States.
Yeah, you know, I clicked on that little... I had to go online and Google UK iTunes, and I clicked it, and all of a sudden my iTunes turned to UK iTunes.
And we do. We have, like, 2 reviews from the UK, which is awesome.
Both and of them were really cool reviews.
I was like, I couldn't help thinking, like, why is there a separate iTunes for the UK? Don't we, like, both speak English? Aren't we separated by a common language? And, well, and an ocean, but...
Yeah.
Mainly a common language.
It was really interesting, though, because when I went to go sign in under my iTunes account, a big warning popped up and said, I'm sorry, you can't purchase anything from this site because you're only authorized within the U.S. I was like, wow, I didn't know that I selected, like, a, you know, UK's or U.S., you know, thing when I signed up. But I guess it just detects by your IP address or something like that. When you sign in. Maybe it has something to do with the conversion rate between pound and...
Oh, you think it's like a currency thing?
Yeah, they're euros now, right?
Do they still
use pound?
I think they still use pound, don't they?
Yeah, I guess...
Aren't they the only ones? Yeah. Or one of the ones? They probably use both. I don't know. My international currency, they're part of the European Union, but I don't... I know they're still using the pound, too. Mm-hmm. They may use both. But
well, I know iTunes, everything was in pounds.
I do know that Greece, however, gave up their currency.
Interesting.
Which they've been using for, like, thousands of years. Which is like a drachma, right? Is that, that's Greece's currency.
No more of Greek currency? That's kind of sad.
After thousands of years, yeah. Several thousand years.
Well, I guess, you know, every good thing has to come to an end.
The euro. That's a pretty good, I mean, that's a pretty good streak, though, right? I guess it's kind of, oh, it's sad that it's gone, but, like, 2,000 years. I mean, you know, not a bad stopping place. It's like, all right, we've had 2,000 years.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. And, hey, I was chatting with our roving reporter, Meredith, online today, and who is actually moving to somewhere in Europe.
She's roving?
She's definitely roving from, you know, New York to Europe somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, very interesting. She did a segment for us on just the difference between language in the UK and language in the US, and that whole idea that, like, transvestite versus crossdresser is reversed in the UK.
Yeah.
But she also gave a couple links to interesting UK sites, which I'll be sure to post in the show notes.
Right. Very cool.
There are two of them, which was very cool. And which is Angels, Angels UK. I can't remember. The Angels, I think, is what it's called. We've actually, I think we have a couple listeners who are on that board. Very cool. And... of course, there's the Way Out Club, which I think was mentioned in our Cross the Seas, Across the Pond podcast, where we interviewed our
transatlantic get-together.
Transatlantic get-together, yeah. So, Way Out Club. And there was one other, a magazine, which I will post a link to, which our roving reporter actually did an article for.
Remember, speaking of England, but and right next to England is Ireland. We ordered pizza at the Transcenter Law Center.
Oh, yeah.
And the pizza delivery woman was from Ireland.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's like, a transgender law center. A law center for transgenders.
It was rad. So rad.
And she's like, she was like totally like awestruck. And she's like, you know, she's like talking about, you know, she's like, you know, where she's from, you know, the transgender people are silent and hidden.
But here in the U.S., we can have an entire law center.
It was just cool that she was like, so like, I don't know, like positive, like, wow, this is so, such a fantastic thing.
I think it is a fantastic thing.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But so, it was an interesting story that we never brought up.
Yeah.
And,
pizza delivery. Transgender pizza delivery. Usually you get the people who walk by and go, transgenders? What's that? Just remember, there is no such thing as transgenders.
Well, I like it's the fact that we've people. Got UK people listening, because I think that is freaking cool.
I hate that people use transgenders.
You don't like the word?
There's no. It's not a real word.
I don't know. I guess I'm pretty neutral about it. It's like, I like didn't really like the fact that it's like, I wasn't consulted on this name.
I'm
not consulted.
I fight these word battles and nothing comes from it, so.
You just want a woman, Mila. You can't fight these word battles on your own.
I know. And since we have...
And we don't want the word battles to turn into a word war.
That would be bad.
Or even a word war two. Or even a word war three.
That's bad. That's a bad one.
Because it could go nuclear. as George W. Bush would say.
Nuclear?
Nuclear.
Yeah. We won't even get into those politics.
Nuclear. Nuclear. That's what he says. No, it's nuclear. No, it's nuclear.
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 Nuclear? Hey, I think we've got another voicemail.
Nuka-Cola. We have another voicemail?
Yeah.
Who would this one be from?
I think this is from our good friend Marvin.
Well, let's play that up.
Hi, this is Marvin Bloom. How you doing? I'm loving your podcast, Mila Jaina, and it's perfect. It doesn't need anything. Except I was thinking that maybe you could do a little, you know, new segment if you want, like a moment with Marvin. And before you say yes or no, I've got a special guest in the studio today. With me is Peterson. Peterson, say hi. Hey, Mila. Hey, Jaina. How you doing? So, Peterson, why don't you tell everyone, you know, what are you doing? What's up? Oh, well, I am doing my play, Transfigurations, and I have a DVD out now, Doing Time in the Homo Nomo Halfway House. Oh, wait a minute, Peterson. Wait. All right. Okay. Back up. Okay, so what? You're coming on my program and you're immediately hawking your wares? You know, I mean, that doesn't feel right. I feel very uncomfortable about that. I think it's kind of disgusting. You know, this is a very serious program. They talk about transitioning, transgender issues, and what are you, selling your DVD? Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought, you know, it kind of made sense. And, you know, plus you're in the DVD, so I thought you'd be interested. Wait, what are you talking about? I'm in the DVD? Yeah, remember we went to Memphis? We filmed, you know? Oh, but I thought you cut out my part. Are you crazy? Your part's like the best thing. You do the whole thing where you cast a demon out of a computer. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Oh, you kept that in there? Yeah, and I actually have some extras of you doing other things. Yeah, a lot of you're in it. Oh, well, why don't you tell everyone where they can get this DVD? Sure, if you just go to www.quakerbooks.org. That's quakerbooks.org, but they see it right there on the front page, right? Well, no, actually, they have to do a little search for it. Oh, so it's not there on the front. They wouldn't put it on the front page for you? What are they, discriminating? No, it's just that, you know, whatever. You just have to search, and you just search for Homo Nomo or Peterson, or you can search for Marvin, I'm sure, right? Well, actually, no, I don't think that is one of the search words. But, you know, if you search for Peterson or Homo Nomo, you'll get it. All right, when that was quakerbooks.org. All right. Okay, well, that's all the time we have on Moments with Marvin. So, so everyone, thank you so much for listening. Yeah, and thanks, Peterson, just saying goodbye, Mila and Jaina. Oh, but you always have to get the last word. Is that how it works? No, it's just that I thought that, no, you have to get the last word.
All right, thank you, Marvin. I think Marvin should be a regular contributor.
Absolutely. And hey, for all those people who are complaining that Marvin and Peterson were never in the same message at the same time, there you go.
Right. You know, there are some people that claim they were the same person. I think that proves they're not. I mean, they were obviously in the same room together.
Having a conversation with each other.
I mean, how could they both be talking at practically the same time if they were the same person?
And obviously there were things that Peterson knew that Marvin didn't know. If they were the same person.
Some of our listeners are like conspiracy theorist freaks. Whoa.
Conspiracy theories. unless they're clones of each other.
Well, I could make them clones of each other, as I've proven on YouTube by cloning myself.
Yeah.
Not only that, I could have them both have laser eyes. Think about it, Peterson. For your next DVD,
laser eyes.
You might want to, hire me. I can give you laser eyes.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to get a copy of that DVD. I'm such a fan of Peterson's now.
Nice.
Huge fan.
I will not get a copy. I will just watch Mila's. Because we live together. There's no sense in us both getting a copy.
Gina, there is no my copy. There is only our copy.
Aw, that's so sweet that my stuff is my stuff and your stuff is our stuff. Aw. Married life is so great.
Unless it's my stuff and then it's my stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, at least half your stuff is now my stuff.
At least half your stuff is now my stuff. So, there we go. Uh-oh. So, yes, we would love to have Marvin back on. And if you want to do a regular spot, Marvin, yes. We love to hear from people. And we're always looking for roving reporters and spots to be on our show because we love them.
I vow to use my feminine wiles for good instead of evil.
Oh, hey, speaking of that, we did have an opportunity to meet up with Matt and Ouija.
Yes, we did, from the Big Gay Sex Show, and Ouija is the fag beast of Scandiland, and Matthew does Spanking B. Arthur.
It was a lot of fun. We went down.
And about 5,000 other podcasts.
We drove, an hour and a half to... go and visit with them.
Including Pocket Talk, which I've been on 2 episodes of.
Yeah. And we went out and got to have some refreshments and chat and learn all about Lavender Library in Sacramento, which is rather neat.
Yeah. There was some talk. I suggested having a section, the Band by Sarah Palin section.
Yeah, that would be totally cool.
And it'd have her picture up on the wall. Books banned by Sarah Palin. And then you'd have a shelf underneath of all the books she's banned, and then people could know and read the books that she tried to ban.
There you go.
And so, therefore, she'd almost be endorsing those books.
By trying
unwillingly.
To ban them.
Yes.
Yeah. Although, I saw that there's lists of banned books going around the internet right now. Somebody just took the list of, every book that's been banned in the United States at one point or another. And was just emailing it around as if it were Sarah Palin.
And for those outside of the know of American politics and the great big mess that it is, Sarah Palin is the running mate of John McCain, who is running on the Republican ticket for president.
Yep, because everyone knows that that if you live near Alaska, then you must know stuff about Russian politics.
Yes.
They're practically experts in foreign policy and diplomacy.
Right.
Because they can see Russia from there.
Because she's within spitting distance of Russia. Right. Although the spit would freeze before it got there.
Anyway. Moving on.
Anywho.
I think we got another voicemail.
Oh. Yeah, I think I know which one this is.
Hello, Mila and Jaina. My name is Walter von Spendingkingsen, Jr., 3rd, Esquire of Atlantis. I'm calling today from Atlantis to express my disappointment in both of you. I was very hurt to hear in one of your past podcasts your remarks that once trans peoples get their rights, they should discriminate against Atlanteans. Though we're all down with, discriminating somebody, we're really hurt that you would choose us. We are very big boosters for trans people. We're trans allies, if you will. Transponder is a very, very popular piece of media here in Atlantis. It's even more popular than our other two Earth imports, old episodes of Quincy, and, of course, your world's greatest TV show ever, Cop Rock. children, as I'm sure you're aware, all own the Neela Tool Time action figure as well as the Jaina freelance artist doll. And, of course, you must be aware that your transponder pop-up book for adults and your transponder POC sets, they sell like hotcakes down here. Like I said, we're all big Neela and Jaina supporters as well as trans people. So we ask you, please reconsider discriminating against us. If you must, might I suggest Martians? They're pretty messed up and they're scary. And might I add, if they came to a fight, it'd be pretty easy to beat. If anything that the two world of the War of the World movies have taught us, it's that Martians are pretty wimpy. I mean, you can take them out with a human cold. My grandmother, she has the sniffles all the time. She could probably take out a whole platoon of them. And, you know, might I add, when's the last time you've seen a good movie with Mars in it? There's your reason right there. Just please, leave us Atlanteans alone.
Oh, well, thank you, person from Atlantis.
And as I learned, Esquire means that they're a lawyer.
Yeah, so it looks like we have Atlantis' lawyers calling us now.
I guess that it's like one of those
nothing fosters trust
things.
Like lawyers.
Yeah. So this is how you get us to you know, appreciate you is by sicking your lawyers on us. The next thing, we're going to get a cease and desist order from Atlanteans saying that we're not allowed to, like, mention their names or, you know, use them for pool cleaners anymore.
And what's up with making fun of Martians? They have an immunity deficiency. Not funny. Also, Martian Manhunter? Martian? He's way more powerful than Aquaman.
Yeah.
Whoa. And he can, like, change shape.
Seriously, like, Martian Manhunter, like, totally has that psychic thing going on, too. Like, I'm sure that he could totally make Aquaman call all the fish and stuff like that.
That's probably what he's doing. He's probably just making Aquaman think he's calling fish.
Right.
He's really just, like, sticking his head in the toilet and, like, you know, blowing bubbles or something.
Yeah. And anyway, those comments about merchandising, hey, where are the royalties for that? I mean, they're making, like, Neela and Jaina dolls, and, like, we're not getting any money for this.
No, before we get into this, let's go ahead and play this other voicemail, because these two are related. And this one came, like, really close, like, within, like, 30 seconds of the other voicemail.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Queen Stephanie. A little movie. My spies tell me that one of the Atlanteans might try to contact you and feed you a bunch of lies, such as the fact that they celebrate Neela and Jaina Day. While it is true that they celebrate Neela and Jaina Day, it is We Hate Neela and Jaina Day. And those action figures of Neela and dolls of Jaina, they use them for target practice. Also, the pogs that you can find the children of Atlantis playing with are black market knockoffs. You receive no royalties for those. You cannot trust the Atlanteans. You can only trust the Silurians. And we are better allies than Atlanteans to trans people, because sometimes we spontaneously change gender. So, of course, we can relate more to the trans experience, even though we're not mammals or anything. But also, Aquaman was suspended twice for the Justice League for drinking on the job. And, yeah. Any sleeps with fish. Later.
Oh, well, it looks like we have the Lemurian perspective now, too.
Why don't you give us a little background on the Lemurian Atlantis situation there, Gina?
Well, they were both, both their civilizations predate all recorded history. And the Lemurians, may even be, the direct, evolved descendants of the dinosaurs.
Wow.
So they may actually have had civilization longer than even the Atlanteans. And, both these continents are now lost to history, and, you pretty much can't, geology can't find them, so they, you know.
Yeah. There were rumors that they may have been at war. At some point.
Yeah, they probably obliterated each other.
Yeah.
Well,
who do we trust here, Jaina? I mean, we've got...
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and keep an open mind on this.
Because, you know, if the Lemurians are bad-mouthing the Atlanteans, then there might be some truth on both sides here. It's like a political war between the two factions.
Yeah, you know,
caught in the middle.
When trans people do eventually get basic equal rights, probably around sometime around the year 3700, I think.
Yeah, that's a conservative projection. Yeah,
and you know, it just goes to show that, you know, when a marginalized group needs to eventually be able to look down on someone. Maybe the rules will be different in 3700.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to concede that maybe we won't have to look down on anyone. Maybe not even Atlanteans.
Well, you know, maybe at some point we'll have to go to the source and investigate this firsthand. I mean, really, what do we know about Atlanteans?
Well, I do know this. I think they're a civilization in decline. If you look at, like, Atlantis, it's, like, all in ruins and crap. It's, like, place is a mess. It's like, oh, my God, you know, do a little cleaning up around there.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be on television. Seriously.
Like, you know, Greek, Greco-Roman pillars, like, all toppled over. It's kind of a mess, you know. It's like they've had like thousands of years to clean that place up. Lemurians, they're pretty interesting, especially because like the males will sit with the clutch of Lemurian eggs and sometimes not leave to eat or go to the bathroom or even call for takeout for like weeks. And that's pretty impressive too. I mean,
well, there was mention of them changing gender spontaneously.
Well, they're reptiles, yes.
So maybe with the Lemurian DNA, we could simply create, like, injections that would cause spontaneous change of gender. And then we wouldn't have to worry about all this, like, surgical stuff. Have it in a pill, right?
You'd probably grow a tail, though, too.
You know, the price you pay for quick, easy, painless procedures.
Nothing is quick and easy. Everything comes at a price.
Speaking of not very quick and not very easy, topic for today, boobs.
Boobs. We're talking about boobs. 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 Talking about boobs.
Yeah, so reflecting back on 2 years of hormones and just thinking about breast growth in general. This is obviously something that comes up a lot during the male-to-female transition cycle.
Let's face it. Male-to-females usually want them, usually.
Usually.
Female-to-males usually don't want them.
So, you know, female-to-males, of course, there is the surgical option when it comes. I mean, binding, of course, is the, you know, I've seen a lot of guys use the binding to flatten out the chest. But, of course,
yeah,
it's very
uncomfortable. I've seen the ace bandages.
I've heard that they were very
bad for
you,
though. And also the waist cincher things.
Yeah.
Like the rubber, kind of rubberized waist cincher things.
I've seen
those, too.
The ace bandage thing, I've heard from people that it's dangerous because ace bandages are designed to constrict as you move around.
So they can actually cause breathing trouble and things like that. So many people have said, don't use ACE bandages if possible, because it's just a health risk. That getting something more appropriate, like a binder or waist cincher or something like that, can be better. I don't have the complete word on it, because obviously I don't dabble too much in that myself. But I think that's about all I know about the, you know, the F to M side, right? Surgery, binders. There are some guys that choose never to have surgery, for one reason or another. And I think that's totally cool. See them a lot at the Trans March, run around with their shirts off.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
That's awesome sauce. And
females, right?
Female to males, yeah.
So, a couple of different stages of breast growth. They're called the Tanner stages.
You mean male to female?
Male to female, yeah. What did I say?
You said female to male. You get your directions confused. It's your lack of direction sense.
It's the estrogen is causing me to have a lack of direction sense. Literally.
Mila doesn't even know which way she's going anymore. She doesn't know she's going male to female or female to male. She's all mixed up.
Yeah, and obviously I can't shoot a blaster rifle even in a 3D animated environment.
Yeah, she's talking about the Trini Star Galactica collaboration that we're in, because we're doing a lot of visual effects and stuff. And yeah. So we got her running around with a laser pistol shooting.
I'm shooting all over the place.
And later on, we're wrestling for the gun. And, yeah. You know, I'm taking the gun away from her and someone pipes
commented.
In. Yeah. Like, it's good you took that gun away from her, because Mila can't shoot for bleep.
Right. So I commented back. I said, I'm shooting the ones with the cloaking devices, right? You just can't see them.
But anyways, this has nothing to do with boobs. So,
so Tanner stages, there are five different stages, I believe. Yeah. And, most trans women, that I have met or talked to, don't get past stage four. But, I mean, stage four is a lot of development.
Okay. So tell us what Tanner stages are.
So you've got the first Tanner stage, which is like the breast budding, right? And basically what happens here is this is the first sign of development. So the first introduction of hormones, and you basically have a small amount of tissue that forms underneath the areola and nipple. And this is kind of like, it feels like a hard lump. And it can be sometimes quite painful. And this is basically the start at puberty, that when once the breasts are starting to develop. After that, you start to get some small lumps, like a small amount of growth. What are you laughing at?
I comment on trying to start Galactica.
Okay. So, the stage two is a small amount of growth, in which basically there is elevation of the areola and nipple area. You know, it starts to kind of grow up. Usually you see that in the, it's almost like a pointy amount of growth.
Right? Well, there's different, there's also Tanner stages for genitals and stuff too.
Yes, there are Tanner stages.
There's pubic hair, genitals, and breasts.
Yeah. So this is what they call the breast buds, right? So, and Jaina is scrolling around here.
Sorry.
Small areas of surrounding how do you pronounce that word? Glandular?
Glandular.
Tissue. Glandular. Areolas begin to widen. So,
nuclear. Yeah. Nuclear tissue. I mean, glandular tissue.
So the Tanner stage one and two are like very, very slight development, you know? Now for somebody who's going through hormones for the first time, this can seem like a really fast progression, because all of a sudden there's something like bloop, like growing out there.
Mine actually made that sound when they grew. It went bloop.
Yep. So
it's a little embarrassing because it'd always be when I was in some place public, and I'd be like, boop, bloop. And people would like look at me, and I'd be like, it's kind of like, you know, like if you like fart and you try and like make it seem like you didn't, like it was someone else. That's what I'd do.
Right.
I was slick.
So the Tanner stage three
Whoa, I think I hit another stage, Mila.
Tanner stage three, the breasts begin to become more elevated, and this is where the tissue actually passes beyond the areola and starts to fill out on the sides a little bit. And it continues to widen, but the contour remains with the breasts. So even though it's like widening out, you're not getting any elevation in the center. You're getting kind of more of a rounded elevation there. So at the stage four, you start to see an increase in the size, like the breast size. And you can actually, you get a secondary protruded mound where the areolas are. And that's a sign that, that they're progressing from that stage into the next stage. They kind of, it kind of projects as if there's a new breast bud forming there. So, and then the stage five is when everything completely fills out and you're pretty much done. So this can happen.
Am I done yet?
Probably not. because the stages of breast growth can take between 5 and 10 years for some people to complete.
I'm like a D cup now. I'm okay being done.
Yeah. Breast growth continues for quite a long period of time. The majority of your breast growth, though, is going to be during the first couple years of hormones. You know, starting out, it's kind of like that first growth is going to be the most amount of growth that you're going to have. You know, and then after a certain point, it starts to slow down. So there still is some growth, but it's not nearly as, like, fast as it was before. So usually around 2 years.
A lot of times women get, like, very impatient. They're like, I want my breasts to grow.
It takes time. I mean, the stages, like, we're talking about, like,
well,
these five stages.
Come on, you were a little impatient.
I was totally impatient. I was like, why aren't my breasts growing?
You'd, like, get, like, practically crying sometimes.
Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Because I was really, really
And then you'd,
really
like, look
impatient.
Over my breasts and you're like, you've got the nicest breasts. I'd be like, nah, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't care at all.
And I would get embarrassed, like, cover my chest sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, that's what a lot of girls do during puberty.
Yes. Embarrassment about breast growth is common.
I was terrified about growing breasts.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, I'm gonna be living as a male. I'm like, I don't want breasts growing. Like, people will know. People know something's up. But I didn't like realize how much the rest of my presentation would naturally change. Mm-hmm. To make it seem like breasts were appropriate for me to have.
Right.
So I think I had some certain misconceptions about the effects of hormones upon the rest of the body.
That fat distribution really does wonders for the presentation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a long time, though.
So most trans women, you said, do not get past stage
four.
Four.
Four is where you get that little budding, or the secondary budding, where you have fairly well-developed breasts, and then you have that little secondary mound that elevates. And that's kind of like where it halts for a lot of people because of just starting later in life, you know. Of course, the earlier...
That seems to be a big issue is... Just the fact that many of us do start off later in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have been told by some people, though, that started late in life, that that does not always hold true.
It's not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. There was a woman that I knew that started when she was 50 years old.
But, I mean, we should acknowledge that there's a chance of greater, I guess, adversity in later you start.
Right.
Your chance of having adversity and even, I guess, uneven growth or, what did you call it? You call them the Snoopy breasts, right?
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. Basically, there is a condition that can happen where basically the central portion of the breast grows fairly well, but the surrounding exterior tissue that makes up the majority of the breast doesn't develop as well. And so you get kind of like a very elongated or a very large areola area that's very puffy and mm-hmm. kind of underdeveloped breasts. And basically from what I've heard is that if you end up with that type of what they call the Snoopy breasts, because the profile kind of looks a little bit like the profile of Snoopy, and that's where it came from, that's where the name came from.
Oh.
But that can be surgically corrected.
And also they'll jump onto a doghouse and fly around like the Red Baron.
Yeah.
Oh, they're on a cord.
There's little goggles.
And make friends with small birds.
Yeah. No, but this can be cured by, cured. I use the word cured, but I guess that's not really.
Corrected.
Surgically corrected. It's fairly easy for them to correct during, implants.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I guess that kind of, when that happens, it's pretty much you're going to need implants to create a proper breast, right?
And it depends if you really care.
Is that the case?
I mean, it depends if you really care, because there are women, like genetic women, that have the same condition.
Yeah. It's not just the male to female thing.
Right. This is something that happens naturally to other women. So, I mean, everybody, something that to really understand is that everyone's breasts are different. It's like fingerprints, you know, everybody's breasts are different. So they're different shapes, different sizes of areolas.
My fingerprints are the same as my clones.
Yeah, it's amazing how that worked out.
Yeah.
I was surprised. So now you can, one of you will commit a crime and the other one will get blamed for it.
Oh, I'm totally going to blame my clone.
So this is something that a lot of girls, when they're going through puberty, have a lot of concerns, because they're like, do my breasts look the way they're supposed to look? And the reality is that there's so much variation that, probably what you're looking at is normal. Of course, if you have some real concerns and, maybe there's something that's like some hard lumping or something like that, which can be caused by caffeine. I found that when I was in high school from a girl.
I know a girl that she gets that. So she can't, she just doesn't have caffeine at all.
Right, because it causes hard
lumps. She said it hurts.
Yeah. And so the recommendation in that situation is to stop drinking sodas or coffee or whatever.
And that's what she has done. She stopped all that stuff.
Yeah. Unevenness.
And I'm talking about natal, female, girl.
Yeah. Unevenness is perfectly normal. I mean, it is actually expected that one of your breasts is going to be larger than the other.
Some amount of asymmetry is the norm.
Yeah.
In nature.
So do not be surprised if there is asymmetry. And in fact, if you don't have asymmetry, then you're probably a rarity.
Yeah. It's just when it's, I suppose, obscene amount of asymmetry. Not obscene, but, extreme. Yeah.
And, in those cases, even natal women have that challenge. And options can be surgical or just living with it, mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that can be corrected, quote-unquote, with surgery that are not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily, bad things. Having asymmetrical breasts is not, this horrible thing. If you have one that's an A cup and the other one's a D cup, then that might be a little bit.
It seems like a lot of work the breast implants at the beginning. Cause you gotta do that thing and you gotta
The compression
and.
Yeah. A friend of ours was letting us know about the actual aftercare for getting breast implants, and it sounded like just a ton of work.
Yeah.
whoa, you know, 20 minutes a day with sitting with like a big weight pressing down on your, you know, on your chest to try and like compress it so that the scar tissue stretches so that you don't get rock hard.
Well, I already spend like 8 hours of sleep with my legs being crushed.
Is that because I lay on top of you?
Yeah.
I'm a bed hog.
Mila, we go to sleep at night. Well, first I get like 1/3 of the bed. Mila takes her half out of the center. And then she goes and she's not comfortable unless she's got me pinned to the bed with her leg. So she'll go and she'll swing her leg like over my legs. It's like being locked down for the night.
It's really comfortable.
It's like a safety harness so I can't fall out of bed.
Well, because you're just on that tiny little sliver of bed all night long. I don't want you to fall.
And I haven't.
See, it worked. I'm keeping you in bed.
Yes, it's very safe. And earthquake proof.
Of course, you seem to be adapting to this. Like, you're evolving and you're, like, gaining more body heat. So, you know, as you get warmer.
I think that's for all the exercise and stuff, because I'm doing the 5 miles. You went and done that with me today.
I did. And let me tell you, Jaina does this incredible workout in the mornings. Like, she goes and she's just, like, on the elliptical and just going at it. And I get on and I try to keep up with her.
Well, I was like, you were, like, beating me at first. I was like, she better slow down a little bit. She better pace herself.
I burnt out after 30 minutes on the elliptical.
You didn't even quite make 30.
27 minutes.
And sorry, I'm not going to let you claim 30 minutes. You have to earn 30 minutes, girl.
Then I jumped on the bikes because I was like, I need a break from the elliptical.
You know, I can't stay in the bikes more than 20 minutes. The seats hurt my butt.
I did 15 minutes on the bikes and then came back to the ellipticals.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite keep up with you. So I probably did about 10 minutes less than you did overall. And but
you did pretty good. I'm glad you went because I know you were like, you know, I know you weren't quite wanting to go, but you made yourself go. So,
yeah. And let me tell you, I'm getting to the point, going back to breast growth, where I have to wear the sports bra when I go to work out. And I think up until maybe a month or two ago, I really didn't need it. Like,
you got a lot of growth, so.
Yeah. But it was, you know, tight enough and like just secure enough that I didn't really need the sports bra. But in the last 2 months, it's really gotten to the point.
I think they're awesome. I like sports bras. I like my red one here.
Yeah.
I got over there.
They're nice, though. I mean, it, like, keeps everything in place, and there's no bouncing when you're...
Just a little bit, but, you know, yeah. It's manageable. It's a manageable amount of bouncing.
Well, I mean, you might eventually need to go to one of those industrial strength, like, sports bras.
I'm just going to go to Mark III Power Armor.
Yeah. I know. I saw the Power Armor bras, like, that they're form-fitting.
Do you ever see that, what's that cartoon, Kids Next Door?
Mm-hmm.
Where they have the teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
And they find out the one teenage girl has a training bra.
Right.
And so they, like, run it through the computers to find out what bra means, and it's battle-ready armor is what the computer comes up with. So they, you know, they're sneaking into the one girl's sister's house and trying on her bras and stuff. And like, yeah, I do feel more powerful. And, like, the sister and the dad come in.
Right.
Anyway, it's a cute cartoon. It's funny. And so, I'm a cartoon geek, so.
On the topic of bras, how does one figure out what size bra they are?
They'll get fitted.
Absolutely.
You should bother to get fitted. Go to the store. Have them actually fit you for a bra.
Yeah, don't trust these online, like, bra calculators. They're like, measure around here, measure around here, and then take this and divide by that, and no.
If being full-time or something is not, then go with other trans women, for one thing. to a store that's reputed to be trans friendly. It can be done. I know there's, I know for like a lot of trans people, there's a bit of public embarrassment in doing that, but
yeah,
you know, I think it's a good thing. And you know, you can go to, if you're in a city, you can go to a part of town where you're not likely to be recognized or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and, yeah, you know, I went to
Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. Well, first we did the, try them on ourselves.
You know, trying them on yourself, you get kind of okay results because it's like kind of trial and error. Like, all right, see, does this fit? Well, it kind of fits. Does that fit? Not really sure. The thing is like that when you change sizes, all the cup sizes change dramatically. So it's like the 36D and the 38B or whatever. It's like these different sizes might have similar sized cups, but really what you're trying to do is figure out what's the best fitting around your rib cage and around your shoulders. You know, what's going to give you the best support under the tissue that you have. If you're using a push up, what's going to be the most comfortable throughout the day? If you are getting red marks, like if it's cutting in to your sides and you're getting red marks from it, then you probably need to adjust the fitting. You know, if it's tight and it hurts when you wear it, you probably need to adjust the fitting. You know, if you're getting a lot of slack, in the cups or whatever, you probably need a different size. They're different things, but if you get properly fitted, then they just give you one that's comfortable.
I didn't get properly fitted until I went up to the D cup, and I'm glad I finally, cause my bras feel so much better now. I feel like I have good bras. And I paid, you know, the extra money to like buy nice bras.
Yeah, it's and worth it. I mean,
it was worth it. As big of an expense as it is, I have to say I was happy.
Yeah.
I was happy with the result of doing that, of pampering myself with good bras. Yeah. So.
And hey, padded bras do wonders during early transition, especially padded push-up bras. So they're padded.
Absolutely.
And they're push-up.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a little bit of extra volume, a little bit of extra padding. You know, it's looks good underneath the shirt. I'm going to say that although breast forms may be, like, great in a lot of situations, I personally did not go with them because I really don't. I don't like the idea.
Did you use the shoulder pad things for a while?
I used shoulder pads for a while. And yeah. They're okay.
I thought you used those, like, way past when you needed to.
I think I did too.
And I was like, you really don't need those anymore. And you're like, no, I need them. I need them.
Yeah.
You were had a lot of
body issues when it comes to
but the breasts. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I totally did. And I think
there's a lot of emotionality tied up in that part of femininity. Even for NATO women. I mean, that's, you know, why there's so many breast implants. I mean,
yeah,
I think natal women in general are very much judged on breasts.
Yeah. I personally, you know, I'm really happy with the growth that I've had. I don't feel the need to go get implants. And in fact, I'm kind of, after hearing the stories about the aftercare and just how much work it is and just surgery in general is a big toll on your body.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid it,
facial feminization surgery, I'm glad I did it, but it's not a fun process, healing and stuff like that. Just, I'm not one for, I don't know. It's not that I'm not tough enough to recover or anything like that, but it's just, I don't like the feeling of not being at full strength and.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
So, and it's a scary thing, because anytime you're going in for surgery, there's always those risks, those of possible.
Not that we're trying to, you know, persuade anyone against surgery either, because I think it's completely valid to go get breast implants. And as a trans woman, we talked about that. You know, you need those four feminine traits to overcome any one masculine trait,
right? And so,
and breasts are one way to do it, and you know, and a very, I don't know, powerful gender marker.
Well, usually that is, if you talk to people about, like, well, what makes a girl? And they're, usually what people say is breasts, not, like, ovaries
not
or
vagina.
You know, the typical response is boobs. And it's like, it's interesting how much that equates to someone's idea of what a woman is. Which, it boggles my mind, because when you actually ask somebody what a woman is, then they really won't talk about that, but what they define, you know, how they define a woman is usually boobs.
So, boobs.
Yeah. Because apparently that's all that matters, right?
Well, I mean, you know, we have to admit that as trans women, that there is some, I guess, level of female validation in growing breasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the first markers we start to see that our body's changing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Now, one thing,
you know, I don't really want to marginalize it as something that is not important. But it's like, you know, I think I was less preoccupied with it than most.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I completely understand too.
Yeah.
It's just that my preoccupations were more focused on other parts of my body.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that it is important as far as socially being accepted. Like, being flat-chested can be a challenge in our society for women. And I know women, you know, including my sister, who is not as well developed as most other women. And part of it comes from exercise during puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Because testosterone levels rise during exercise.
Right, which is a critical growth.
And there's a critical growth period. And also, I think that just in my family, there tends to be smaller breasts. And I think this was part of my personal, like, fears, were that I was already told that that you were expected to have a cup size less than your sister or mom or whatever. And I looked at my sister and I was like, oh no,
that means I'm not going to have anything.
Right. I'm going to have barely anything. And that's going to be it. And
I'm going to have to get breast implants. And
that, because
I remember when I first met you,
fear.
You were talking about, I'm going to have to get breast implants.
I was really afraid of that.
Yeah.
It turned out that I take after my mom's side of the family, and my mom's side of the family has some pretty good stuff going on there.
Not really knowing my genetic family, I didn't really know what to expect, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I assume there's some sort of 90% boob creatures, and they roll around.
Right.
From the growth I've had. I don't know. Maybe I was less worried about it because I was getting such growth. And it just wasn't something I had to focus on.
You had some growth before you even started.
I think that was from my weight still. From leftover from being heavy. So I think there was already something there.
Mm-hmm. So, in effect, I mean, you had some of
that. And probably the fact that
coming.
I had such low testosterone to begin with, it made it not really go away from after losing weight.
Right. And the earlier that breast growth starts, I mean, the more maximum potential. So, and, you know, when I talk about people who have, like, really good growth, you know, I don't even know what their family history is. They could have been one of those people that would have had, like, the gigantic growth. If it hadn't been for being...
You know, we don't ever talk about really breasts that much. This is the most fascinating conversation about breasts I think I've ever had.
It's awesome.
I don't think I've ever really gotten into a deep, detailed conversation about breasts.
Well, it's not something that's really, like... Not something you talk about publicly. You don't sit around, like, with your office workers and go, oh, hey, so, boobs. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be kind of a cool office.
Yeah. So you may have mentioned before, but don't...
Well, porn offices, I guess.
That probably would be. don't ever put your bra in the dryer. You do not put your bra in the dryer.
Put in the washer. But don't, yeah.
Memory foam and all that. I think we mentioned this because of how it's made.
Yeah, well, it stands to be reiterated. You let them dry. You take them out before you put all your other clothes in.
Do not put them in the dryer.
It ruins them.
Yeah. Warps them, warps the memory foam, bends the underwire. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not meant to be heated up like that.
Nope, not meant to be. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Say no. You know, one of the nice things, though, about growing breasts later in life is that you end up with youthful breasts when most women your age are more fighting the effects of gravity.
Yes, absolutely. And that's
because gravity do take its toll.
It's a great thing, you know, to have those, like, you know, here you're like 30 or 40 years old and you have like the 12-year-old breasts. It's like, wow, you got another like 20 or 30 years of good boobs.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you're not even going to start experiencing that old age, or the, not old age boobs, the like kind of gravity boob stuff until, you know, 70s.
Oh, you mean the ones that like you're tripping over?
Yeah. You know, something that happens, you know, gravity, elasticity in the breasts.
I'm just
over
gonna throw.
Time.
I'm just gonna sling them over my shoulders.
You know, one of my family members was telling me a story about one of my great grandmothers, and the story about how they would have to lift up their boobs to put on their belt, which I always just found very. It's kind of one of those embarrassing, but also kind of funny things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Christina Applegate, she got the breast cancer.
Yeah,
and I guess in one of her breasts,
mm-hmm.
and she has a gene that makes her susceptible to it.
Right.
We're talking about Christina Applegate, the married with. Probably, you know, the Married with Children actress and,
the younger one, right?
The young blonde gal.
Yeah, yeah.
But sister in yeah. Married with Children, which is the kind of white trash comedy.
About white trash people with children.
Yeah, but it was on like, you know, it was a kind of a popular cult, sitcom.
It's one that opened with like
for a while.
The Love and Marriage song or whatever.
Yeah.
Love
and the Fountains.
Marriage.
And, yeah. And she was on that sitcom, Jesse, and stuff. But so she's like, well, I'm just going to have a double mastectomy. And it was a very emotional thing, I assume. But it's like, wow, I thought this was like a really just... I thought this was like really powerful that she like said,
hardcore.
You know, I'm going to get rid of both so I don't have to worry about the breast cancer anymore. Like, rather than be worried about, you know...
Well, that's
it's striking
shame.
Again, which seemed likely.
Yeah.
She just made that choice. I was like, wow.
If you're susceptible to it and you get the cancer in one side, then the chances of it showing up in the other side are a lot higher, you know.
Yeah. I remember after reading that, I was like, wow. She like became like my hero for like a week. I was like, I don't know. I think that's like, because that's such a female defining trait.
Right,
to say I don't,
to
right, to say I'm giving this up, and I don't know, just the fact that she's taking charge of the disease and the susceptibility to it and saying,
yeah,
I don't know, I think it's really cool.
So
I don't know where I'm going with this, but.
Well, I think we should talk about breast exams.
Breast exams are crucial.
So you should be having
even
your doctor
check
you out.
If you're female to male with
anybody who's
your
got boobs,
still, yeah.
Anyone who's got boobs should be
and
getting
men
regular.
Men can get breast cancer, so.
Yeah, regular exams. And mammograms.
I found that out on Oz.
So anyone over the age of 40, I think, or 35, if you have the susceptibility gene or whatever, the one, if you've had, like, if people have had breast cancer in your family, then you should be getting your mammograms a lot younger. So talk to your doctor about when you should start getting them based on your family history. But you need regular checks.
Yeah, this is an issue with me too, is not knowing my family history.
Yeah.
So it's a medical kind of thing. It's like, you know, I get that whole questionnaire is whenever I go to a doctor, like, you know, your family history. It's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, some interesting news on breast exams is that apparently there is some sort of a new test that they're working on using, like, it's like, I think it's radioactive chemicals that kind of, they make you, like, drink something or whatever, and it goes through your bloodstream, and they take photos of it. But they're able to accurately find the whole, like, breast tumors and stuff like that way earlier. And they'd be able to tell whether or not they're benign or whether they're cancerous based on that. So it's pretty exciting, and I really hope that it... I really hope that it helps to find cancer earlier.
I think that finding cancer earlier rather than later is preferable.
Yeah. Because you love
but
life.
But mostly, I think finding no cancer at all, ever, is the most preferential of all preferences.
Yeah. I mean, life is good. And by the way, Jana, why is it that you love life so much?
Well, aside from the living part, I think that I find the idea of a world without Jana, I think, is a world I would not want to live in. Does that answer your question?
You're such a hoot.
A world without Jana is a world I don't want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a world without Jana is a world I don't want to be in.
You can quote me on that.
Yeah.
I want that on my tombstone, actually.
Well, I mean, definitely write it down in your will, because, I mean, whoever takes care of your funeral.
You?
No, we're gonna die at the same time, right?
I also want that I was a veteran of the robot wars of 2034.
Exactly. We're gonna die in the robot wars.
Whoa, in 2034?
When we come back in our time machine from the future.
Oh, there you go.
To try and stop ourselves.
To stop the robot wars from ever happening.
Right.
Awesome.
So, because of the two millennia of war and destruction that happens afterwards, you know, what led to you, you know, becoming queen of the universe. So you're actually trying to stop yourself from becoming queen of the universe.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. We'll have to bring future Jana and future Mila on at some point. Because they're really interesting to talk to. I mean, we've talked to them like a couple times, but...
I don't know. Future Jana is kind of... She's a little stuck up.
Do you think it's because she has, like, all those servants with her all the time?
Probably has something to do with it, yeah. She does a pampered life. I mean, she's, you know... But let's give her credit. She's accomplished a lot in life. She, you know, rose up from kind of a struggling working-class family to queen of the multiverse. And, you know...
Yeah.
It's a little bit of the Leona Helmsley kind of... vibe going on, you know? She's achieved a lot. She come from nothing to great heights.
Yeah, and what's up with future Mila, like, claiming that she invented the sonic screwdriver?
Not only that, but she claims that she invented putting the hearts above eyes. And I find it the most weird claim to make ever. Like, wait, you invented that? How did you even invent that? I'm pretty sure that was around when you got an eye in your name.
I don't know. I mean, maybe she does have a point. She does have a time machine.
No, she doesn't have a point. She has a heart. She doesn't use a point above the eye. She uses a heart. But, you know, future Mela and future Jaina, they're still very much in love. So that's the important part.
Ever since the love chip was implanted.
Nice.
Leave us a comment on our voicemail line, 320-323-1896. Or stop by and see Tranny Star Galactica on YouTube. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
And thank you for joining us for a lot of talk about boobs.
Have a boob-tacular, booberific night.
And we'll keep you abreast of all all of our endeavors.
Good night.
Good night.
Right. Hi, my name's Xander, and I was born female. I want to tell you a little something about my friends over at Transponder. It's a podcast. You should listen to it. Let me tell you a little bit about it and the people involved. Okay, here we go. Highly original. Stole my heart like a criminal. Really smart and strong. It's like an audio blog. Yeah, Mela and Jaina. There's Mela and Jaina. Mela and Jaina. Yo, Mela and Jaina. Mela and Jaina. Mela and Jaina. Mela and Jaina. Okay, alright. Yeah, I am Guitar Master. That was like the stupidest thing I've ever done. Ever. Wow.
This program is a member of the TransFM Internet Broadcast Network.
TransFM.org. Goodbye. Tootsie, don't cry. That choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me, tootie, and then...
Well, we've come to the end of another Freak Network podcast. But have no fear, there'll be another one coming around just around the bend. I suggest you check daily for the latest of Freak Network podcasts.
Tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, goodbye.
TheFreakNetwork.com.
Thank you for listening to Transponder.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 320-323-1896. Brick sandwiches.
Join the Yahoo group and get in on the discussion.
Or send us an email.
We are not lawyers, so no part of this show should be considered legal advice.
We are not doctors, so please consult yours before considering any medical procedure.
The opinions stated on Transponder are not necessarily that of our sponsors, broadcast partners, or other organizations.
Our opinions are just that, opinions.
Music is graciously provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.